T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Michael Irvin joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Once again, thanks to Porsche of Walnut Creek, a Stead automotive dealer. Michael, last night, they hardly had to put the ball in the air. They ran the Green Bay Packers right the hell out of the state of California. It's about as dominant as an offensive line can control a football game, didn't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was a total domination right there. And you know, I didn't think it would be that kind of dominance laid out on the field. I thought Green Bay would produce a little bit more of a fight. But that was as dominant as the first victory, to be honestly with you, when you looked at that. And that was an incredible job running the football. Now, where did your mind go in watching that? You know, because it's great to see, okay, you got the game. You won that game with Green Bay, everything. Now you move forward, and looking forward, you say, okay, with that kind of running game, does that work against the Kansas City Chiefs? When you saw what it just did, to the Tennessee Titans, and you know the running game it had. Now here's the great part. We started thinking and matching it up in the Super Bowl, because you know you got to do some different things to win a Super Bowl than you had to do to win your NFC Championship game. And Kansas City got to do different things to win a Super Bowl and then what they had to do and win their AFC Championship game. So this is going to be – this is a great matchup, man. Great matchup.
How many times – well, I know how many times that you were on a team that threw the ball 17 times a game. How would you have been able to function on a team that threw it 8?
Yeah, that was –
as a wide receiver, would you have pulled your head off?
Yeah, but – yeah. Let me be straight with you, because I've been that with you all the way. I don't mind if we're going to throw it 8 times a game, as long as you understand all 8 has to come to me.
No, that's straight. I get that completely.
Right. Now, being on a team where you're talking about dispersing 8 throughout the clan, like, no, we're going to have a problem with this. You know, if you're going to throw 8 times and you're going to promise all 8 is coming my way, I'm good. But if you're going to disperse 8 throughout the whole team, that's a harder thing, man. But beyond all things, you want to win football games. And you were able to do that with only throwing 8 times. And that's an incredible thing, man. And it says, basically, that's okay. The primary what you're winning with is running the football. The Tennessee Titans, the primary what they won with is running the football. You see what I'm saying? But the difference is this now, D, right? The difference is this. Tennessee cannot really pass even if they wanted to. Well, San Fran can pass when they have to.
Here's why I'm asking. It's as you're watching the game unfold and you're seeing the 49ers only throw the ball 6 times at halftime, at what point does it occur to you as a viewer and former wide receiver that, hey, these guys are going to pass almost not at all? I've never seen a game like this before.
And he did that early in football. You know, you heard even Terry Bradshaw talking about it on the other side. When you know, Terry Bradshaw talking about throwing those few games when he was doing the interviews and all of that stuff. So he did it. It's just really what's shocking is seeing it now, where all the rules are made for the passing team. All the advantages are given to the passing team. You can't be basically in touch the quarterback if he's in passing mode. You know what I mean? You can't touch a receiver until he comes down. You got to let him catch the ball. So all these rules are made so you can have success in passing. And then to see a team come up and have this kind of success with running the football. That's what in this Super Bowl, there are so many things that are the antithesis of each other. Kansas City, they're going to pass the ball. Well, San Fran is running the football and winning. Now, go back to that old assessment, Tennessee couldn't pass if they wanted to. San Fran, I believe, can if they have to. So that makes this a different game for the Super Bowl. But, man, it's an incredible. The old way is running the football. The new way is passing the football. All of these things are about to clash in Miami.
So I want to talk about what the wide receivers were doing yesterday, and that is blocking the heck out of those run plays. It struck me how many different wide receivers made important blocks. Is that just about having the right guys at receiver who like to do it, or is that something you have to sort of create a culture to get that level of blocking out of pass catchers?
No, you got to create a culture. You know, because it's not something that you're going to just be drafting dudes and think, hey, yeah, I want to block. That's not the reality. The guys joke with me on the show about it. We were on Inside the NFL, and Ray Lewis was joking with James Brown. He said, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. Don't ask Michael about blocking. That's not something he did much of. Now, I'm not saying I didn't block, but it wasn't high on the priority because I knew I couldn't take it into Jerry Jones and negotiate it with it. I can't say I made a block on this. Look at this block I made right here. You should pay me more. That doesn't work that way. You know, you want to look at the catch I made. You want to look at the route I ran. So I used to joke with guys about all that. Blocking is just about getting in someone's way. I don't got to think, lock you down. It's got to get in your way. But your guys are taking it to a different level, and they made it a culture. They made it a culture. And that's the important thing to have when you have a running team like you guys have to run. But always remember, I'm going to keep coming back to this, Tennessee couldn't pass, but San Fran can.
Michael Irvin here on 95.7 The Game. Raheem Mostert comes off the street to turn in one of the greatest rushing performances in the history of postseason professional football.
And incredible.
When's the first time you heard of Raheem Mostert? Did you ever think this was going to happen? I mean, no, of course he didn't. Who the hell knew who he was?
Right. Right, but that's what's incredible about this game, man. That's what's incredible. But you remember what's that? Tim, the guy from Washington,
Tim Smith.
He jumped up. Tim Smith. He had that game in the Super Bowl, and everybody was crazy. But man, this is what makes it so beautiful. I was saying the same thing as I'm watching this. This is what I love about football: all the stories that break off of the main game. And look at this man putting together this kind of a postseason that will be in the NFL forever. On his 100th season, he's putting together this kind of performance in the postseason that will mark the NFL. And even think this, man, whatever quarterback wins this Super Bowl, it's his first. It's his first. We're going to see some real raw emotions. Whichever coach wins the Super Bowl, it's his first. We're going to see some real, raw emotions. Now, God bless him, and I love it, and God bless Tom Brady for being the greatest. But, man, I'd rather see a first than see you get your seventh. I'm sorry. I just want to see somebody else do this. You know what I'm saying? So I'm excited about that also.
You mentioned Timmy Smith, and there have been, as you said, guys – who have come out of nowhere to make an impression in a Super Bowl. Is that possible now that there are so many more people watching games for more exacting reasons than they did when Timmy Smith was playing, or really even when you were playing? I mean, it's almost like there's no such thing as the unheard of guy anymore.
You're right, and so you mitigate that to saying jumping out on the scene, because really it's not just the number of people that are watching games anymore. It's also, even if you're not watching games, you're watching Twitter and Instagram, and you see stuff, everything. You know what I'm saying? Everything, all the information is out there, so everybody's more informed of anything that's done. It goes viral now, as opposed to even if you don't sit down and watch four quarters of a football game and really understand it, You see what everybody else doing and talking about it on social media. You still get a grasp of it. So it is more difficult to come from out of nowhere. But that being said, what I mean by out of nowhere is all that you get during the regular season and all of that stuff, on this scene, it magnifies so much more. It magnifies so much more. And to put that kind of performance together on this scene with that magnification, that's a wow.
Speaking of wows, one of the biggest things that jumped off the screen to me last night, Michael, was the defensive backs on the 49ers are all, to a man, really sure tacklers. The way K'Wan Williams is able to grab a guy with his hands and just stop him in place, I don't know that I've seen a full defensive back group that tackles quite like this.
Yeah, and what's interesting, too, though, really, when you look at it, and I watch sometimes, and of course I've seen some of the shots in the John Lynch shot, and I think about the defense that he handled, that he's part of in Tampa, and I think about how he's built this defense. And it's not just talking about the right talent. I'm talking about the right personality, the right personalities to fit. You know, guys, the Richard Sherman and the Nick Bosa, the right personalities to fit to come together to make a unit. It is pretty impressive. It really is pretty impressive the way they play a defense. Say what you will, that was one of the greatest to ever play the game. And especially in the first half, he looked as bad as I've ever seen him look.
Offensive line was shook all night, and he didn't shake it off, that's for sure. The playmaker?
Yeah, he looked bad. It really was as bad as I've ever seen him look. But now, and I know we'll have time to talk about it next week, but now, as much as you're saying, I know you guys have seen this little beef going on between Darrell Revis and Sherm.
I don't know what Darrell Revis could possibly say to a guy who goes to Super Bowls frequently when he's never been to anything that mattered.
Darrell Revis got one in there with New England.
Yeah, oh, that's right. At the end of his career, he hooked his wagon to someone else's success.
I see your trip. What? But now I will say this.
I mean, he wasn't the leading force of that Super Bowl team, right? I forgot he was on the team. That's where Darrell Revis was at that point in his career. He should probably talk less.
Hey, I give you this. I said I'm not suggesting that one is one and one is the other, but I say this. I have always said that there are two types of players there are two types of players, two types of athletes out here, and I always said there's one that must be added to a champion, and then there's one that can build a champion. And that means no matter where he goes, sooner or later, that team's going to turn and start playing some kind of championship football. And it's beyond your physical skill set. That comes in when it's how you are, about who you are, and how you are around people, since it's going to take all of these people to win and do something great.
In the NBA, they call that the Kevin Durant.
You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. I just had to throw that out
there.
You
know what I'm saying.
The 49ers team.
Sherm is that guy that can build. Many group of guys, he can build it.
The 49ers team plane is going to land in Miami on Sunday. What is the biggest no-no that players need to avoid? The biggest pitfall, what do they have to do to make it an easy week on themselves?
Let me give you real here. Did I say? Don't fool yourself to try to even think that this is just another business trip. Doesn't work that way. So don't even try to tell yourself that. I say to you, allow yourself that when are they getting it, Monday? Because I know we have opening night Monday. Allow yourself that Sunday or that Monday, that Sunday and Monday, to say, wow, this is the Super Bowl, you know, and go into Tuesday. And after you do that media stuff Tuesday, then you turn your mind on to, I got another game to play. But don't go into this thinking that this is just another game. I'm going to treat it just like another business trip. I mean, it's no big deal, because that never works. That's the best advice I can give you, to make sure you understand this is what it is.
How many Super Bowls did it take until you learned that, or did you learn it after the first one?
No, well, the good thing is Jimmy knew it. So I didn't need to know it going in. Jimmy knew it. Jimmy never said. He said he grabbed us as a team, and he would say, "Guys, I know this is a hell of a thing you've accomplished." He said, "So everybody wants to pat you on the back and tell you how great you are, and I understand all of that. Let's get all of that out the way. We're going in early. You get all that out the way Sunday and Monday. Come Tuesday after we do that press conference, we're back to doing us." So he never tried to make us believe that this was not this big. He made sure we understood just how big it was. He said, "Let's get all of that out of the way." He would go so far as say, "Sunday and Monday, you guys can get in and have a good time in town. Just do what you got to do. We'll bring everybody in on Wednesdays and Thursdays. All the fans, everybody else come in. You get it all out right now so we get it out of the way." And I'm just saying, we were undefeated in the Super Bowls. Maybe it's some vice others should take.
I'm curious. We always ask you about wide receiver performance. Did you see Jerry Rice's 100-yard sprint yesterday? And could a Michael Irvin beat that time in a suit running down the field?
God, no. No, absolutely not. Jerry still believes, and that's just a testament to who he is, that he can play in the National Football League. And I say this, I think Jerry's so blessed because he played on natural surface. I played on carpet, on concrete, and my knees are shot. And every time I watch him run, I'm jealous. I said, "Man, I wish I could run like that, but I can't run like that anymore." When I do try to go jogging, and my phone rings, I can actually answer the phone while I'm running. You know, and say hello. That's how strong. So he's still an incredible dude. I go with him sometimes in these flag football games, man. And Jerry is serious about getting that pass and getting that ball in flag football games. And he still can run. He still can run, but I can't run like that. God bless him.
Mr. Michael Irvin, used to be known as Mr. Miami. Somebody in my audience is going to the Super Bowl in Miami for the first time in their lives. Michael, what's the one thing a listener needs to do during Super Bowl week? I mean, go party at Mango's, dance on the bar, Joe Stone Crabs. What do you recommend? Must do Michael Irvin. Got to do it when you're in Miami.
Man, Miami is such a beautiful place with so many beautiful attractions, so things to enjoy, so many different people, different cultures are all blended in right there, man. I say try to see as much as you can. Yeah, I'm serious. Miami is a small part of our country, but it seems like it's a small piece of the whole world. All of it congregates in Miami. You enjoy. Let me give you some spots now, special spots like Kiki's on the river, spots like that. You'll get great food, beautiful scenery. You know what I mean by beautiful scenery?
Just beautiful,
right on the river.
Sunsets.
I mean, everything is beautiful. Everything. The fort looks beautiful. I mean, the fort, like, God, it's a beautiful fort. Everything is beautiful in this place. I'm just telling you, places like that is going to blow your mind, man. But Miami is a beautiful place. See as much as you can.
Kiki's on the river, and tell him the Hall of Famer sent you. Michael, thank you very, very much. Always a pleasure. We'll get with you next week, and we'll actually start breaking down a game that, when you look at it, I mean, we're going to change our minds probably 10 different times on who might win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and that's what's so great about it, because, you know, it's going to ultimately come down to what I've been messing with you guys about all day. But we'll break it down all kinds of ways, but it ultimately will come down to one team couldn't do it when they had to, but another team can if they have to, and that's throwing the ball with Kansas City, because you got to keep up with them. We'll break it down next week. We got time. Let me just wait. I'm excited about this one.
Thank you, Michael. Always a pleasure. Michael Irvin here on 95.7 The Game. What a treat to be able to talk to him.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.